At Her Spirit, we're here for you. We want to help you discover your potential, achieve your goals, ignite your fitness, find your community. Head to herspirit.co.uk and sign up for our core membership. Get access to our virtual classes, monthly challenges, expert advice, and track your progress in our health hub. You'll also find your very own cheerleading squad who will support you every step of the way. Use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 and get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Hello and a very warm welcome everybody to the next Her Spirit podcast with me, Louise Minchin. And you're probably more used to seeing me or hearing me talking from the BBC Breakfast red sofa. And also alongside me, well, she's not alongside me, is she? Because we're in the time of Corona right now. Joining me from her study, I think it is my lovely friend and athlete, super athlete, Annie Emerson. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I know it's so much fun, so much more fun when we can record these together. But obviously you're in your house, I'm in my house. You get to go out a little bit more than we do because obviously you're still working. And the thing that I've been most impressed with is how wonderful you still look on the red sofa, seeing as you don't have one of your wonderful makeup artists, because I could not make myself look that good at 6 a.m. That is for sure.
Well, I don't think that's true, Annie. You always look gorgeous to me. Oh my goodness, that was one of my anxiety dreams. And it sounds like such a ridiculous problem to have given where we are now. But I used to have this recurring work anxiety dream where I'd turn up and I'll make lovely, wonderful, brilliant, talented makeup artists weren't there for some reason in my anxiety dream. And I would have to do my own makeup, which was always, I just could never do it. It was a complete disaster. And a friend of mine, oh, Sally Nugent, who does the sport with me, said to me the other day, just channel your 17-year-old, you know, when you were going to all those parties and you were putting makeup on. I was like, Sally, I never put makeup on. I never cared. You know me, Annie. I turn up at a triathlon without a stitch of makeup. I'm not bothered. I don't care. I don't care what I look like. And suddenly I've got to make myself look respectable in front of 6.5 million people. And I'm not sure I'm kind of managing, but I mean, I'm nothing like them. It has been a huge anxiety for me, but will I get better?
Yeah, you'll get better. Of course. I mean, it's all about, you know, it's like training, is it? It's like sport. The more you do it, the better you get. You know what? That is the lovely thing about you that I've come to sort of realize about you. You're so not vain. I am so much more vainer than you are. I remember one story way back, and it was a World Cup race or something like that. There was a very talented Karen Montgomery from Canada on the start line. And she looks around at me and she goes, "Do you always wear your mascara, Annie?" And it's like, yep. And still to this day, even if I go out running at 7 a.m, I put my mascara on.
That also sort of is strange to me as well, because people will see me getting out of, I don't know, where I've done an open water swim. And obviously I look like a complete wreck and nothing like I look like on the sofa. And they still recognize me. And in my mind, the Louise that does all this sport and all the rest of it is completely, of course I'm not different, but is another person to that one that sits, you know, beautifully put together and made up, etc., on the BBC Breakfast red sofa. So I'm beginning to get to a place where, of course, they are the same person. But it always surprises me when people recognize me with my hair wet and not a stitch of makeup and, you know, wearing a wetsuit and not looking my best, but probably feeling my best.
Well, I tell you one thing's for sure. No one would recognize me.
They would. Annie, another thing. I know that you have fallen down this week. What have you done?
Oh, I took an absolute flyer, actually. You know those ones where you go to trip and you save yourself and you think that would have been a big one. Well, this one was a big one and I didn't save myself and got massive bruise on my elbow. I really banged my head. There were a few expletives, to say the least, and a large glass of wine followed, and then I was absolutely fine. I must admit, it's one of those humiliating moments you have as a parent when you've just screamed at your kid and you know you look really ugly and really horrible and you can't quite control yourself, and you've screamed at them for being messy, and then you walk down the stairs and trip on one of their toys. And that's exactly what I did. Poor Tim, my husband, said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, no. I won't say what I said after that. But anyway, I'm fine. I live to tell the tale.
Well, I know. I've seen the bruise. It's really impressive. I know that our next guest is going to really appreciate that story. I'm sure she's got similar stories. And please get a very warm welcome to Lorraine Candy, editor-in-chief of the Sunday Times Style magazine, and fantastic open water swimmer. Lorraine, it's lovely to talk to you. I saw you laughing at that story. Have you got a story like that recently?
I think we're all sort of super clumsy, weirdly, aren't we? When you do any kind of sport, you're always falling off something or tripping over something. Or I've got a huge scar in my knee from falling over in front of absolutely everybody in Regent's Park because I was trying to text and run at the same time. Took a giant tumble through the ducks that were being fed and through all of that. That's quite funny. But I feel for you. Sorry about that. And it's very, very painful, a bruise like that.
Do you know the worst thing was that I talked about that glass of red wine and you're talking about being clumsy, Lorraine. I don't know if it's a sign of the times or what it is, but I managed to knock the glass of red wine over as well when I sat down on the sofa.
I think, Annie, it might be something that's coming to you from, you know, this horrible thing. It could be menopause. I'm really sorry to tell you that.
Yeah, you do lose your ability, don't you, to
She wants me to catch up with her and then, you know, then we can be real friends.
Exactly, that's exactly. Now, Lorraine, I want to talk to you about so many things. Let's first of all, you know, we're all in our, I don't know where you are, I'm in my breakfast room. Where are you today, Annie?
I'm in the study.
In the study. Where are you, Annie?
You've got lots of nice pictures on the wall behind you. It looks very interesting, a lot more interesting than my room, that's for sure.
They're leaving cards, actually. There's a tradition in newspapers. I don't know if it's the same with journalists in telly, but when we leave, they do a cover of whichever publication we've worked on. And then some wit writes funny cover lines about that sometimes they're a bit too close to home. But I used to edit Cosmo and Marie Claire. I was on Marie Claire and worked on The Sun right at the beginning of my career. So they put my head on a page three girl.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we get a video, actually. They normally do a video when they do it for silly jokes, which is nice. Also, let's talk to you first of all. We'll talk about so many things, about open water swimming particularly. But you, like the pair of us, are at home with children. You've got four of them. How's it going?
I'm just going to take a deep breath because I like to see the joyous upside in parenting, even though I know that's madness. I have two teenagers, one of whom is separated from the love of her life. So that's been quite time consuming for us. And she doesn't understand how in Sweden they're not locked down in the same way. So surely she could visit her boyfriend. So we have that discussion about every 20 minutes. And then I have an 8-year-old we've been homeschooling. I made a human digestive system yesterday with some tights.
I saw that. It looked absolutely disgusting.
No, don't use pink tights. That's not a good idea. It's just too realistic and you can't unsee that for the rest of the night. And then I have a 13-year-old boy who needs a relentless amount of exercise. And we're lucky we've got a very old trampoline in the garden, but I had to take him out running around the park yesterday. And then I've got a 16-year-old who seems to be sleeping quite a lot. She seems to be living her best life. So you've just got to manage them all, haven't you, and try and keep upbeat about it, initiate a few rules.
You write a family column as the Sunday Times as well. I mean, presumably this gives you a lot of stuff to write about.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, I think the first week where I did a big piece with some experts on how to kind of sit with teenagers, because my eldest two have lost their GCSEs and A-levels, so they've been cancelled. So they're in a gloom. And we should just be sitting with their feelings around that for a couple of weeks, and then we have to focus them. But I've done the next column on the sort of funny side of it, because there is so much humour in being at home with teenagers. And I don't know what your kids are like, but when they get to teenage, they don't want you to touch them. And if you go for a walk with them, you have to walk at least 6 metres behind them anyway, because they don't want to be seen outside with you. So I've been secretly hugging them, because they're a bit down. So I'm thinking I can get all these hugs in now really quickly before they go back to school.
I've got that thing. So one of mine lost her GCSEs as well. And it is really difficult for them, isn't it? Because they've prepared so hard. And then suddenly, you know, for some people, I'm sure it's a relief to have the exams taken away. But it's just genuinely gutting, isn't it? It's having something. I mean, it's not that she was looking forward to them, but something that you know, she was trying to, I guess, prove for herself. It's really difficult.
At Her Spirit, we know how powerful women can be. We love your strength, your determination, your compassion. We love the energy that sparks when we connect and spur each other on. Her Spirit was created to ignite that flame of determination, to unleash your energy, to build your self-belief, and to help every woman find a way to your healthiest mind, body, and soul yet. We want to inspire 1 million women just like you to be active, healthy, and happy because you deserve it. Head to herspirit.co.uk, join our core membership and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. Join our monthly challenges, get access to the Her Spirit Health Hub and track your activity levels, mood, food, sleep and stress every single week with your own personalised dashboard. Get expert advice and join daily live classes that can be played back at any time. Plus, find the support that you need to get started and stay motivated. Just sign up at herspirit.co.uk and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
It's their purpose. It's their sense of purpose, isn't it? And it gives them a sense of time, and their time and purpose have been taken. And then also their summer's kind of been taken because they can't go on their trips that they'd planned. All the festivals are cancelled. So they've lost sense, purpose, time, friends. It's quite a lot for them to take on. I've tried to just not moan about anything with them, though they are slightly infuriating. They're very untidy.
And the other sort of the problem you
quite
have
horrid
that,
to me.
That I notice is the sort of the age gap, 8 and 17. So you've really got your hands full because the needs are so different between the four of them.
Yes, and the weird thing is they always, I think most people with larger families find this, they always need something all at exactly the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So for an hour, nobody will need anything. And then just as you start helping the eight-year-old with times tables, everybody will need something to eat, something to drink, or to help clear up something. I tell you what's been really useful for us, I think Louise it probably has for you, is our dog has been quite useful. We've got this irritating, yappy little Welsh terrier, but she's like the glue holding the family together at the moment, because I just send her into the teens if they're a bit upset, and she sort of, you know, tries to find a bit of food in their room, but then ultimately sits with them for a cuddle. She's the thing we're taking out for a walk, so they have to come because the dog needs a walk. So the dog's been quite useful.
Do you know, you make a really, Annie, you've got a dog as well, haven't you? Got a little fluffy dog.
I've got a really lovely, energetic cockapoo. So exactly the same, you know, the way he's kind of keeping us all together, it means we have to go out every day. And the kids do complain and stuff, but we alternate. So one day we're running, one day we're walking with him. And, you know, if we didn't have him, it'd be much harder, I think, to get them out the door, really.
Yeah, you've got to motivate them somehow. I did try to do a little run with my 16-year-old yesterday. She does boxing, so I'm a bit perplexed as to why she's so unfit. And then she got to 1 kilometre. We were listening to the same thing on our earpods, and she just started shouting at me, "I can't stop it! Stop making me do this! It's so embarrassing! Everyone's looking at us! Why are you wearing that?" So we had a big old row. It was great.
Do you normally run then? I know you swimming is your thing.
No.
You
No, I do not. It's my. I had a bit of a knee injury. I did a couple of mini triathlons. I did Blenheim.
I know you did.
Which is just lovely. And we did a couple of other ones. And I did some half marathons, actually. I did a really lovely half marathon in Paris because I cover the fashion shows while I was there and did that. And then I did something to my knee, which, if someone could be bothered to do all the physio, would probably be fine. And then I realised that actually I just loved swimming so much that, if you're short of time, you just need to pick the thing that brings you the greatest joy.
Do you know,
I feel.
You are right about that. I'll come to that in a sec, but you are right about the physio, because I did something to my knee ages ago, and I was told by a consultant, you can never run a marathon. And actually, I've run, I think, 4 since then, because I did. I mean, it's sort of unlike me.
You're a beast, though. You're like a machine.
No, but I just...
You feel no pain.
No, I do feel pain. I do have, actually, that is true. I do have a very high pain threshold. I know that because my appendix burst. But I did actually do, you know, to all those people listening out there who have got injuries and stuff, and I know time is short and everything, but I did actually do the physio, and I kind of completely proved him wrong. So it is amazingly that possible, Annie, isn't it? If you listen to those physios, you've presumably had loads of physio, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing about endurance athletes, isn't it? It's, you know, it's sort of verging on, yeah, people admire you because they think you're just so amazing because you have this incredible tolerance to deal with, you know, endurance events. And I guess, you know, with that extreme pain. But really, we're just a bit dumb, aren't we, really? Sometimes you don't know when to switch the brain off, like that intelligence side that kicks in. And that's what makes people be able to achieve achieve what they can do, because the brain doesn't kind of kick in and say stop in time.
This is really silly, stop.
Some of the things I've been up to in my life, I mean, I must admit I'm older and wiser now. I probably wouldn't repeat some of them in terms of how I've tried to cure myself from injuries before. You know, I think that's worth a whole podcast in itself.
I think a lot of it's mental, it's in your mind, isn't it, as well? I think if you can overcome it, if you want to overcome it, you really need, and that's the difference between an amazing endurance athlete, isn't it, and someone who's just could be really, really good at it but mentally can't quite take themselves past it. I just didn't enjoy running enough, I don't think. I mean, I loved it at the time, but once I discovered swimming, there was just nothing I liked as much.
So let's talk about the swimming then. So when did you discover it, would you say?
When I say swimming,
yes,
we're not talking Olympic gold, relentless Ironman here. We're talking open water swimming. I know you've met that community. They are a funny lot. They're lovely, so welcoming, and kind of the least likely athletes of all, but actually amazing at what they do. I mean, I swim quite slowly, but I was, when I injured my knee, they said, the physio said, well, if you want to do something repeatedly, do some swimming, it'd be really good for you. So I started, and then realized I couldn't do front crawl. I could do two lengths front crawl, and it was embarrassing, and I couldn't work out what was going on, and it made me a bit cross. So I had some swimming lessons, and I met a wonderful coach called Dan Bullock from Swim for Try. He's just a really lovely, patient, kind man. And then I thought, you know what, you need a goal, I think. If you've got kids and a full-time job and not much time, you need a goal, so you need a point or a reason to train. And I thought, well, I don't want to do the channel because it looks a bit dirty and mucky, and I don't want to get ill doing it. So why don't we do something really nice? And I thought, I'll look for a luxury swim.
I love this.
Well, I thought, well, where has they got the nice water? Well, they've got some lovely clean water in Switzerland. That looks lovely. And then I found the Lake Geneva Legends board, so Lake Geneva is a 70 kilometre lake. So it's twice the channel, basically. And it's a little bit tidal because it's just so enormous. But it's very cold is the problem with Lake Geneva. And I'd seen that people had done this as a relay. And I thought, well, I'll just learn to do the front crawl a bit more and then get a team together and
I love this.
It will be fine.
You had no idea what you were taking on, did you?
Honestly, you've got to be, this Ross Edgley has this brilliant quote, you've got to be gullible enough to start and then stubborn enough to finish. And so I thought, well, the next thing I'll do is I'll go to Parliament Hill Lido. And I thought, Christ, this is a bit cold, isn't it? This water. And then I Googled Wim Hof. And then I thought, oh, God, this is going to take ages. I'm going to have to do some I'm going to start taking this seriously. Then I found other people stupid enough to do it with me. And I wrote a piece in the Sunday Times magazine saying it was my dream to do it. And I wanted to do it by June this year. And a friend of a friend of a friend contacted me and said, I really want to do it. I'll do it with you. But she was quite a good open water swimmer. She'd done that big swim in Turkey, right, Bosporus and various things. And then we had a coffee and she said, look, I'm just going to tell you what this is all about and how it works with open water swim. And that frightened the life out of me. So then I had some more lessons. And by that point, I think we'd gone too far to back out, and we found a sponsor. Tudor Watches sponsored us because we had to hire a yacht. They have to have it has to be very, it's timed. It's a very, very official Geneva. There's so many rules around it.
Yeah, just before you go on about that, that particular thing, I have, as you say, I've met some of the open water swimming communities. Oh my gosh, the rules, Lorraine. The rules.
Oh, the rules. Yeah. Take it quite seriously.
Obviously, yeah. But there are rules. Anyway, so go
on. There are rules, and Switzerland adds a whole layer of
other rules
itself.
It?
Yes, okay. On top of it. And then, so we just put the team together. There was me, a mum friend of mine who I've known in the playground. Two of our kids go to school
Love
together.
Love that.
Someone who's done quite a few open water swims, Katie. She said, I'll do it with you. She lived vaguely nearby, so we could train together. And then Dan, I think he was just horrified. I just think he thought we'd all drown and die if he didn't come. So he came in. He's like 5k an hour. He's so fast.
Wow.
So we needed someone to help us with that because we just didn't want it to take 10 years. Actually, we did it in quite a good time. We did it in just under 30 hours. And a team before us of four swimming teachers had done it in 28. So we were quite pleased with that. And then, Katie's 16-year-old daughter said she would do it with us, but she wanted to do breaststroke because she competed at school doing breaststroke,
right. Which is that what she did?
Again, she did. We had to get that cleared. There are lots of rules around breaststroke.
Oh my gosh.
and then we found someone. It was quite chaotic, the actual Lake Geneva, getting the person who lived there and organised it. But we were very lucky with the crew of the yacht. They were brilliant. We had a facilitator who had to come legally with us to time us and make sure we got in and out without crossing and that we followed the direct route and all of that. She wasn't very nice. She was a bit unfriendly. She actually said that we wouldn't do it. She said we were a bunch of amateur women who didn't take it seriously and that we wouldn't finish it, and she'd never seen a team. And obviously at the moment she said that,
you're like, right, we're gonna
we just turned
this.
Our music up on the deck a bit more and had a bit of a go.
You call the swim and tonic.
Swim and tonic. We did swim and tonic. There is one overriding memory for me, because I was most worried about the night swim, because it's big, Lake Geneva, it's really cold, and you've got to swim alongside a yacht, massive yacht, looking at the light at the top. And unfortunately, I drew the short straw and I was first in for the night swim. But once I got it over, I just thought there's nothing in life now that probably will phase, because I was so frightened. And when I was about to get in, it's not very nice.
You're making me scared. Go on.
Well, she threw, it was pitch black because it was a June sky, July sky, and she threw the life jacket at me and said, you're probably going to need this, in a jokey way. And it was a really mean, cruel thing to do. And then I just thought, you know what, I'm going to make it. I'm just going to do it in the dark and we'll finish.
Can I ask you, so we're getting lots of questions literally as we talk to you, which is brilliant. This is from on the Her Spirit app. This is from Jess L. Exactly to that. She says, I know it's irrational, but sometimes I get freaked out by what is or maybe beneath me.
In the water. Yes. Yeah, so Lisa Potter Dixon, who did it with us, who's a makeup artist, a friend of mine, she was overwhelmed by that fear. There'll be something in the water, there'll be something in the water. She kept sending us the week before we left, these are the kind of fish that are in the water at Lake Geneva. Some of them are 2 foot long.
Oh.
But the thing is, nothing comes anywhere near you. That's never really bothered. We trained at Shepperton Lake, which is there's quite a lot of stuff in the water at Shepperton. Actually, I quite like seeing the stuff in the water. And I did a bit of training in the sea in Cornwall, and you have to swim through a lot of jellyfish and things like that. I think you just have to, you have to have what, Diana Nyad, who swam from Cuba to America. She's an epic swimmer. She's the most amazing woman. She wrote a book about her swim. It took her 5 goes. She did it when she was in her 60s. And she says you have to develop what they call a steel trap mind. So you don't let those thoughts in. You just don't think about them. You learn in your head to just, you have a mechanism. So I counted my strokes.
Right.
And I had a mantra, which this sounds very grand, but it's again chaotic. I have I'm trying to learn to surf. And I've been learning for about 10 years now in Cornwall, where I grew up. And my surf teacher, who does a lot of swimming, said, if you have a mantra that fits with the cadence of your stroke, by the time you've concentrated on that, you've sort of forgot about things in the water, not being able to see, losing. My big fear was just going the wrong way and swimming twice as far as I needed to swim, because the curve of my thing. And I always used to say, I am at ease. And that helped me. And one of the other reasons I did Geneva is because when I first did the Blenheim triathlon, when I got in the water, I had a huge panic attack. I just was overwhelmed with fear and had to hold on to, it was so surprising, I couldn't work out where it'd come from after all the training, had to hold on to the canoe, and I just thought, I am never going to have that feeling again. I am infuriated by this. I'm very cross about it. I know, I'll do a giant swim kind of to get it out of the kind of, you know, that kind of sort of fear of the lake.
I did Patagon Man, which is an extreme triathlon in southern Chile, and you jump off the back of a ferry in the dark into a fjord, and you know, and it sounds, well, does it sound lovely? And there's glaciers and the moon was up, and all I could think beforehand was, there are orcas that swim in this fjord.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what happens if I'm in the middle? Will they go after me? And I'd left, and what, I was so scared that I left jumping off the ferry until like the very, I was virtually one of the last people that jumped in, because I was so scared with this sort of thought that the orcas might come and get me. That by the time I jumped in, they'd already said go. So I had no chance to think about it. So again, that kind of pushed it out of my brain.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
You just have to get on with it, I think, don't you? That's kind of anything
you
want to do. I mean, we didn't have a time in mind. We weren't competitive. We didn't have the gadgets. I didn't have a swim watch. We'd done as much. We'd swum we worked out about 10K a week in the lead up to it through a variety of sessions in the pool and in lakes. But what we wanted was to have an amazing experience in life that we would remember and we could tell our kids when they got older and just to have something amazing to train for as well. So those were the reasons behind it.
And I think actually to your point you said earlier about, you know, you do something that pushes you, and Annie, you'll have experiences like this that really frightens you, that really pushes you. Actually, when other stuff comes along that could be frightening, you just think, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Get on with it. You can sort of access that sense of calm that you find in the place where you've done that thing in other bits of your life, I think. But also, I just loved being in the water. So that's always a great joy.
Annie, you've swum there, Annie, haven't you? And how did you find it?
I mean, I've raced there a couple of times and, you know, once I was in there and it was like, you know, being in tropical water, it was like a mill pond. And then the next time I was in there, it was like being in the high seas and it was horrible and people getting seasick. And, you know, if you were breathing to the waves were coming in, you know, you were going to have a terrible swim, which is what I did. So it is really difficult. But just to touch on what Lorraine said there about, you know, when you achieve something like that in your life, that you've kind of really seriously challenged yourself to do, it then puts you in such a great place to be able to go, you know, for other things that come to you in your life to say, you know what, I've done that. Therefore, okay, you're not saying you can take on anything, but you suddenly become not just a mentally, but physically stronger person and you're able to cope with more things. And I think that's what giving yourself these challenges in life is, you know, kind of leaves us with, which is such a great thing.
I think we also wanted to prove that you could just be a normal, ordinary person who likes swimming and do it. You didn't have to have done Ironman. You didn't have to have... We had to get a specific time to qualify to do it, which we had to swim two-hour swims in under whatever it was during the day. One of them had to be in either twilight or the early morning. So we did that and we qualified. But we're just normal, ordinary mums and friends who met in the playground, who didn't have the equipment, didn't know where to start. And I think that the fact that you can just do that, particularly open water swimming is kind of like that, I think, a bit. And the Facebook groups are very supportive. But there's this giant myth around women and exercise that they either have to be really extreme and do it in one way, or they just can't do it at all, or they're not taking it seriously. And I think it was just the joy of being able to do it as very inexperienced swimmers who'd never done anything big was amazing for us. And I hope other people read the blog, that's why we did it all on social media, and read it and thought, well, do you know what, I can do that 5K, I can do that 10K, I might as well just enter that marathon and see how I go, that, you know, not be disappointed in myself all the time around it.
That you make such a good point, and that's so much what we're trying to sort of help people do with Her Spirit as well, make it accessible. And there's a few kind of quick questions for you from people. Breathing tips to relax, that comes from Claire. You can both answer this, both Annie and Lorraine. Lorraine, you go first.
For me, the breathing was the big thing to learn, because I couldn't do front crawl. So we did bilateral because that was special, although we had to breathe towards the boat so that we would stay through it. But I did, the mantra really helped, because I used that mantra when I was doing breathing before I went into the water as well, and that just really settles your brain. But I'm not really a yoga meditating kind of person, so it was for me it was really about the moment I hit the water I felt much more relaxed.
Yeah. And Annie, what about breathing?
Breathing, it's something that needs to be practiced, you know. And I think that with the training, you know, the training and the preparation is so important when you go into a big challenge like that, because I think the training gives you the confidence to know that you can achieve something. And in turn, if you're confident, then you'll be more relaxed. But I think where swimming's concerned, you know, it's all about sort of, you know, inhaling in the water, exhaling as you come out, and getting that timing, you know, just right.
Inhaling in the water, Annie.
So, but it's Annie, practice.
You said inhaling in the water. Surely not.
No, sorry, breathing out in the water. So it's obviously been a long sort of 9-10 days, hasn't it? No, don't breathe in. Nobody breathe in the water. Okay, exhale in the water. And then on another note, Lorraine, just sort of moving away from cycling, rather swimming to cycling. I did notice a tweet of yours the other day where you said, I'm not at one with my bike despite riding it in it in a few small triathlons. Anyone know any rhyme to work out
gears,
when to change
yeah.
gears?
Yeah.
That's a new one. Did you find a rhyme?
Well, I see. My husband loves cycling. It's one of his favourite things. So I think he just explained it to me in such a complicated way that I've just never really grasped which gear I should be in at any point now. And I used to do a lot of cycling in Ali Pally in North London, which is phenomenally hilly. So I just think, why is this taking me so long?
Because it's got hills, Lorraine.
I know, but other things, I was just kind of, no, I'm really not. I'm also the worst driver probably in the whole of the world, I think. So anything technical, gadgety is not my thing. So
can I ask you other questions which are coming, which is great that they're coming on the Her Spirit app. Is a wetsuit or non-wetsuit? What's your choice?
No. Oh, I can't wear a wetsuit. I can't bear it. I just find swimming in a wetsuit induces an enormous panic in me. So I just can't. I just don't like it. I don't like the arms and legs being trapped.
I love my wetsuit. Liz says, talk about the impact of the cold water, because you are what we call skin swimmer, aren't you? How did you get used to it, and how do you cope with that cold water shock?
I think Annie made a very good point. You absolutely have to train for this. It's not something you can think, well, I'll do a bit and then, you know, we'll just muddle through because I'm an average. The cold water, I mean, I've been in the past misjudged it and been slightly hypothermic. I've seen people collapse by the Lido onto the floor, ambulance called and things. And I've sat in a little sauna at one of our Lidos where people have stayed in too long. You just have to really consistently build up your time in the water. We built it up so that we had to be able to swim 2 hours in under 15, stay in the water for 2 hours in under 15 degrees. And actually the day we did that qualifying swim, we did 2 hours at Shepperton after we'd done 2 hours in the Thames earlier on in the morning, and it was pouring with rain by the time we got in at Shepperton, and we hadn't quite warmed up from, and I realized at that point, if we hadn't done our training, there's no way we would have been able to do Geneva. If we hadn't spent, we did quite a lot of proper cold water training in under 10 degrees. We started training in February. So.
Yeah, I've done it. I did a little bit again for the Patagon Man one. I did a little bit, and it is incredible because like you, I'm a bit of a nerd and I read around the subject, and it does actually, once you've done it to your body, it stays with you for a bit, doesn't it?
I think it does stay with you for a bit. It's all to do with the brown fat, isn't it, which builds up around your organs and keeps your organs warm to prevent them going into shock. But I would say the cold water has completely changed my mental health, to be honest. It's
wow.
The thing that, I mean, the first 2 seconds you think, what the hell is the point of this? This is ridiculous. This is agony. And then you get to that point where you're hypothermic. You just keep going for hours, you think. But I just feel amazing. I would say I feel amazing for about 3 days after a cold water swim, especially at the under 10 degrees one.
So you would actively go out and do it then because you know how it impacts
for my
on
mental
you.
Health. I would do it for my mental health, particularly sea swimming. A lot of training we did for Geneva, I did during the May, April and May bank holidays, because we did the swim in July in Cornwall in the sea. And we were unfortunate. It was a particularly cold April and May. And I remember going in the sea thinking, I've got to stay in here for half an hour at 10 degrees. I'm going to freeze to death. It's really rough. But I would then feel fantastic for days. It's brilliant.
When you swam, when you raced at Blenheim in the triathlon, did you have a wetsuit on there?
I wouldn't use the word raced. Yes, you have to do Blenheim in a wetsuit. They won't let you do it without a wetsuit.
That's
it's
what
annoying.
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's obviously where the panic attack came from, because you don't want it round. You don't want the wetsuit round your neck, do you?
That's it. No, I don't like it at all.
But I mean, I have to say, I mean, I wouldn't last 15 minutes in 15 degrees, like, without a wetsuit on. So, I mean, I guess it's something that Louise, like, when you were training for Patagon Man, you spent a lot of time doing that kind of cold prep stuff. I guess bodies can adjust, right? So even I could maybe teach myself or prepare myself to deal with much colder water without a wetsuit.
I think she could, Lorraine,
don't
you? We had
cold showers. Yeah, oh God, yeah, I'm one of those people that if I'm not wearing a giant coat in a sauna, I'm freezing. So it's completely changed. I feel it's changed my metabolism. But it does take, it took us 4 months to build up up to that, and your body just deals with it.
Let's also talk about that subject that was a taboo but is now no longer a taboo, because I talked about it on BBC Breakfast in front of millions of people. Menopause. Does it?
Yes.
I mean, you know, this is a really personal question, but lots of people swear by open water swimming to help them cope.
Yeah, I would say that there isn't a changing room or an outside changing room or a sauna or a place where I have been with open water swimmers, women, where I've not heard women saying, I don't know what's the matter with me, I'm going to give up my job, I feel terrible. The only thing that makes me feel better is swimming. And I've probably had about four conversations in the last 6 months with women saying, there's nothing wrong with you, you're going through the menopause or the perimenopause, you need to see your doctor. And I've talked to so many women in that community who've been offered antidepressants. It's just, it seems to me that it isn't talked about enough, and nobody knows. I mean, you did an amazing job bringing it to the whole nation, but that's the kind of thing, conversation we need to keep having, I think. I think open water swimming was part of my journey, because the doctor at the time, because I thought I was going a bit mad, I was very depressed and just wasn't something I'd ever encountered before, said, oh, well, we will give you antidepressants. And at the time, the cold water was the only thing that made me feel better. It wasn't until I started researching I realised that that's just perfectly normal when your oestrogen and testosterone levels drop to that point.
Yeah. For me, it's very interesting, that connection that I don't think... I mean, I completely love open water swimming like you do. You know, there have been moments in my life which I remember turning around a corner on a swim in Norway and seeing the fire on the beach ahead of me, and just this extraordinary moment, which when I think about it, brings me calm, brings me peace, brings me all sorts of things. Amazing. And I don't quite, you know, even though I do really, really love open water swimming, I don't think, for example, for me, it helps with menopausal symptoms.
No.
But I know that it really does for other people.
Yeah, it's different. But I think it's good to have activity and being active as part of that new stage of life. But yes, no, people don't talk about the menopause anywhere near as much as they should.
Yeah. Annie, I just want to ask one more question. So Lorraine, I mean, this is a kind of bringing it down a bit, and I don't want to, because this has been such a great conversation. So obviously at the moment we're in isolation, and can you do any swimming?
No, nothing, literally nothing. I was just remembering my last swim, which was at my local pool about 2 weeks ago on the Monday before the Friday, when everyone was starting to self-isolate. And I just can't, I mean, we spent a lot of time we go quite a lot to the Olympic pool in London, where it's just joyous to swim. And we just found Bray Lake, which is few lakes that stays open during the winter. And we were thinking, planning all our trips there. I mean, I don't know what else replaced. That's why I've been doing a little bit of running, but frankly, it's no replacement for swimming.
I tell you what you need to do, I'm going to do shameless plugging here, go on the Her Spirit app, because there's things like yoga classes, there's strength and conditioning. And I know, you know, it's really hard, isn't it, right now?
Well, I saw the word swimmer on the, when I was Googling yoga and YouTube. So I did a swim yoga session last night, which made me feel vaguely like I was swimming again, but it's mad. I'm on the outdoor swimmer, Facebook group, and they're putting up some very funny things. There are people, mostly in South America, it looks like, filling pools full of water, putting them near, giant posts and tying strings to their back so they can swim against a, which I don't know, I think that would ruin my technique. I just started having lessons in a tank where they film you, so I just sort of feel that was probably a waste of time, because I've forgotten all that now.
You know what, Lorraine, I think that because you're not a runner, because you've done so much swimming, you've got to give running a little bit of a chance, because we don't really know how long we're going to sort of, or you're not going to be able to get in the water again. So the reason running doesn't feel right for you is because it's just not something you're used to doing. So I would always say to people, you know, set the goals, you know, fairly low to start with, and go out and jog for a minute, walk for a minute, you know, and just how you would when you're in the pool, that different kind of training. Some days you're doing shorter, faster stuff. Sometimes it's, you know, slower and easier. But what it will do is help you to keep some fitness, so that when you get back in the pool, you're not going to go, oh my God, I'm starting from scratch. So that would be my advice. And also because I love running more than I do swimming.
Do you?
Can you tell? I don't normally agree with Annie on this one because I'm like a bit like you, Lorraine. I only run because it's part of a triathlon, not because I really love it. but I have learned over the last few years that to actually enjoy it. And, you know, it doesn't need to be hard to be, I mean, in fact, that's the best way, not for it to be hard, for it to be enjoyable. And, you know, that's a real good message for people. Go on.
The first sort of 15 minutes is a kind of real mental battle where I'm like, oh my God, what's the point of this? This is ridiculous. I can't bear everyone's looking at me. It's just stupid. I'm going to stop. And then I slightly enjoy a bit more if I get past 20 minutes.
Well, that would be absolutely right, wouldn't it, Annie? And that's probably how I feel as well. And by the time I get to 40 minutes, I go, oh, this is all right. This is really all right.
The older that I was always terrible. I always need a big warm up, but you know, I sort of 4 miles before I start feeling.
That's really good news.
Although saying that, I've definitely lost like a lot of fitness over the last few weeks with all the changes that we've been through. But you know, it's just, you just go with the flow. Lorraine, are you going to do another triathlon?
No, I don't. Well, I don't. Blenheim was lovely because it's in such a nice bit of the countryside. And weirdly, I'm quite good at cycling, even though I don't. It seems to be the thing I'm probably proportionately fastest at compared to
Brilliant.
Swimming and running. It's very annoying. But I don't know. I think I would, if I can do one without wearing a wetsuit, I would. But there are few that you can do without a wetsuit.
You need to go do them abroad where it's really hot and then they don't, then you don't need to wear a wetsuit.
Yeah.
And one other question, right. I think it was from Soph. I can't quite see who it was from, but it was about, are there any, it was from Soph, are there any particular open water swims in the UK you would think you must go and do?
We are so limited to our. I want to do Windermere. That was our big plan this year, that we would do it, pick a time, do it together in sets of two, and do the 17K, do that as a sort of relay in twos. But clearly we won't be able to do that now. But they did cancel it last year, actually, Windermere, because it was so cold, the big great swim. So Windermere to me looks like the most beautiful one to do, but there are some amazing locks that I was wondering might be worth trying, but that's just because of my addiction to the extreme cold. So
amazing, absolutely amazing. And we're just literally running out of time now because I'm going to go and do this is ridiculous. I'm going to go and join in the Her Spirit Turbo session in a minute, Lorraine, because why not?
But why not?
We haven't even I've loved our conversation. We've hardly talked to you about, you know, you're sitting there at home, you've got four children, you've got a full-time job. How are you managing?
I think my mindset is generally to be quite jolly about things and, you know, take each 15 minutes as they come and not think about the diabolical bigger picture. So I think I am just pottering along and also just not trying to be too hard on myself because I was going to do some exercise today, but I've done something every day this week. So I think I might not do it today because I'm running out of time and there are children to feed, etc. So
Annie, she's allowed. We're all allowed a day off, aren't we, Annie?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's something to be said for creating a habit because, you know, it is easy to get out of the flow, but absolutely never beat yourself up. You know, you're doing a great job. You know, you've got four kids and you're working full time. And yeah, I always believe in, you know, being kind to yourself and then just going, you know what, you know, tomorrow's another day, back on it, you know, and, you know, just kind of schedule it in the diary tomorrow and go, you know, this 30 minutes, I'm not available because I'm going to go for an Annie jog. Or do something at home, do a Her Spirit, you know, yoga class. They're brilliant. I'm yet to do one, but that's because Mel's put me on the 50 press-ups a day challenge.
I'm not doing that one,
which hasn't been very kind of her and wasn't helped, you know, by me falling down the stairs. But yeah, you know, we're all doing a great job. And I just kind of think, let's not stress too much. There's a lot of very stressed people out there trying to make everything just right. Well, you know, it's going to be impossible. These aren't normal situations, are they? It's not normal times. So, you know, let's...
No, I'm supposed to be writing a book about parenting and teenagers as well, which I've done, I think, probably 60 words of. So
got a bit more to go.
There's just no time in this more time thing. I've got a personal trainer just hired who's a gymnast who's been introducing me to plyometrics.
Oh, is that jumping?
No, it's really more sort of joining your bodies together. It's keeping low on the ground. And surfers use it a lot to be as flexible as they possibly can, but it feels... you don't feel like you're doing it. It's very cardio, I feel like as my body has got older, I'm 51 now, it's just exactly right for my body at this time, because I'm just not a press ups kind of, I've kind of acknowledged I'm not going to be able to do that kind of thing. But it's about sort of, you know, doing hops on the floor and kind of twisting your body and getting it all together. It's been really good for swimming because it ties the body together. It's you do look a bit odd doing, it's all the bear crawling and things like that. I'm sure you've come across it, Annie, at some point.
Lorraine,
but that's really, my glutes are killing me is all I'm telling you.
I just let you know that press ups are really good for swimming. Great on the triceps. You were talking about that push off phase in the swim that you're missing. You know, some press ups would, you know, do your swimming no end of good. Trust
me. Really, Annie? Really? Mel Berry's just letting me know that they've got actually some strength to keep body and muscles doing for things, all things swimming, Lorraine. So you and I are going to look at that, okay?
Yes, we'll do it together.
In the months ahead, very good luck. I know hopefully at some point we will get back to swimming. It has been absolutely lovely. Lovely to talk to you and talk about all those that inspirational swim as well, because it just sounds amazing, Geneva, doesn't it, Annie?
Oh my gosh, absolutely amazing. I would say I would you'd never find me doing anything like that, but you know, kind of, I always say never say never.
I'm trying to get Annie, Lorraine, to do this. There's this amazing sport called swim run where you swim. Well, you swim across a lake, yeah. Run up a mountain. You've seen them. And we were planning to do one this year, weren't we, Annie?
Yeah, we were. But I think that's probably on hold. But it's definitely there, isn't it? We just don't have a date for it yet.
Oh, Lorraine, you've been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. And we will swim, all of us three, when it's over.
We will.
Okay?
I will catch you up, yes.
It doesn't matter how fast you are, as long as you're in the water. That's
exactly.
All that matters, isn't it?
That's it.
You've been a real, real fantastic
Thank
guest.
You.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Annie, I love that conversation with Lorraine. I love the fact that I've never met her, but it is so interesting, the time we're living in, that I could see you, I could see her, and I really feel like we connected and had such a great conversation. There was lots of other things I wanted to ask her about to do with kind of, you know, work-life balance and all of that, because she's hugely successful. But that conversation about open water swimming was genuinely inspiring.
It was totally inspiring, because I think she still almost to a degree underestimates what she achieved. And I think it was interesting her talking about the facilitator who almost ridiculed them and said, yeah, you're not going to do this. And she was sitting there and she always thought that she wasn't one of those people that was capable of taking on these challenges. And she did. But I don't know if you picked up on the fact she's very chilled, isn't she? Very laid back. I think we could have almost sat there with a couple of bottles of wine and talked for another 3 hours with her. You know, she's one of those people that I think just gradually gets warmed up. And the amazing thing about her is how talented she is. You know, if you look back at her career, and chatting with her was just like chatting with, you know, another mum, another good mate.
This is real insight into what people will not expect. So after that podcast, three things happened, right? I went and did one of the Her Spirit turbo sessions. Yep. She, Lorraine, inspired by us, went to do a run. And what did you do, Annie Emerson?
I went to the bath.
The athlete.
I went to the bath with a glass of red wine. This has become my daily ritual. I tell you, Louise, it's almost, that's how I get, I mean, I love my kids and I'm actually loving this time. But I wait for this moment for Tim to finish work. Bless him. He's been shut in the kiddies playroom where we've built up a study down there for him. And I let him take over with the kids and I run my bath and I have my red wine and life is good. What are your rituals now, Louise? Have you changed anything?
Well, no, I tell you what I have been doing. I've been doing a lot because, you know, I mean, you know that I'm new to exercise. This was not how I was sort of 6-7 years ago. And actually what I have, again, you know, there are good things about what's going on at the moment. I have completely and utterly taken advantage of the extra time at home to do much more training. And brilliantly, with Her Spirit now, if we log the minutes that we train, for 500 minutes, every 500 minutes that we all log, and I know lots of people are doing this, we are going to be able to gift a subscription, a premium subscription to somebody who can't afford it. That's because of funding by Sport England. And I don't want to intimidate anybody, but last week I did 8 hours and 39 minutes.
That is amazing.
So I'm really pleased. So that's one subscription.
But then that's also a lot less than what you might do if you were training for, you know, Patagonia Ironman or something like isn't it?
In one of my sort of bored moments, I think I look back at how much training I've done. And in a kind of, and this is, just remember, this is not normal. This was not how I was a very long time ago. I used to maybe go to the gym twice a week for 40 minutes. So kind of for me, since I've been training like this, sort of an average week, a good week is 7 hours. But when it gets, you know, towards a big event, I don't even know how I did it. I look back sometimes and think, how did I fit that in? I was up to about 14 hours.
And I think what is interesting is, you know, some of our wonderful guests that we've had on have said to you, you know, Louise, you're this kind of superwoman, this woman that does amazing things. And I think that's what's so amazing about you. While some people might be saying, oh, it's okay because Louise Minchin has done Ironman, it's okay for her. You know, going back only, what was it, 6 years ago when your girls were a lot younger, you just somehow, you know, a switch changed in your brain and you said, you know what, I'm going to make this my lifestyle. And so, you know, you started this virtually, you know, in your 40s.
I wasn't virtually in my 40s. I was 46, Annie.
46.
But also, the 40, or 44 or something. Well, anyway,
that's only a couple of years ago.
But the other thing, I think you make the point there, and this is a message I'd love people listening to us to hear, that it is, it's part of my life. It's my lifestyle. That's what I do now. And it becomes much, you know, the first steps are really hard. But once it becomes, once your lifestyle, that is just what you do. And my girls think it's completely normal. Everybody thinks it's normal. And back to Lorraine's point about running though, because I'm very similar. I'm better than I was. But, you know, it is hard. And what I'd love you to do, Annie, I'm going to set you a challenge, is help all of us.
That is a great plan. And you know what? Like, whilst, you know, I won't go into my story, that might be worth another podcast another time, but I started sport in my 20s, well, early 20s. I was 20, 21. And, you know, I had a fairly good sort of solid 3 or 4 years of drinking and partying, you know, and smoking behind me by that stage. But what I do love doing, and in my coaching, I love to take people that perhaps haven't had any experience as runners and teach them that they can do it. So what we've decided to do with the Her Spirit app is that I'm going to do a weekly live run show. And this is going to be very much initially geared to people that say, but I'm not a runner. A Lorraine who says, but I don't run. So I'm going to go through some pretty simple drills and give you my top tips, you know, how to build the running miles. You know, you don't have to plan for a marathon, plan for a 3K, set yourself a goal of running a kilometer. So, you know, for everyone listening who's interested, just tap in, you know, and we'll be letting you know when those weekly live running shows are going to be up on the Her Spirit app.
Can I put in a request? Can you make it where I'm not on BBC Breakfast so I can join in? Because I, you know, I've never been, it sounds so silly, but you're never taught how to run. Everybody assumes that you can just run, but I know that there's masses that I can do to run better.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think for me, one thing, I'm very fortunate, you know, I'm not exactly a brain box. I've got lots of things I'm not good at, but, you know, I am.
You're built like a gazelle.
I'm built like a gazelle. I am a natural runner and I tend to get injured very little. You know, it's all about sort of like, this is going to get way too technical, but it's about the feet landing underneath the body, not in front, not too far behind. But yeah, so some people, you know, you're a real natural swimmer. I've had to work really, I can't tell you the thousands and thousands of miles I've done in the pool to get to be, you know, a half decent, not even good swimmer. So yes, what I will do is make sure that people like you can, you know, just have an idea of what running is supposed to look like. Things about turnover, speed, cadence. We talk about that stuff on the bike and in the pool, but we don't so much on the run. So I'll be covering all those things on the app and the live show.
I love that, Annie. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you to everybody who's been listening. Don't forget to donate your minutes. Let's see how many we can get. Let's see if we can get to 1 million, Annie. And you need to start logging yours as well,
by the way. I'm going to be logging mine next week. It's going to be scary.
Excellent. She's back in the game. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Guys. Bye.
Hi, my name's Mel Berry and I'm the co-founder of Her Spirit. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast and we hope you found it useful. I'd just like to say thanks to our sponsors, Medichex, who without their support, this wouldn't have been possible. Medichex offers simple to use blood tests. Wanting to strengthen your immunity or check for underlying conditions, they offer a home test with doctor's reviewed results. Just go to medichex.com to find out more. And remember, together we've got this. Have a great day.